Mike, one slow song. One slow song. Don't want to go in after that.
Blog Talk Radio.
Goodness, this thing that kicked me off.
What happened?
There we go.
Said this morning I woke up and I looked in the mirror and every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. Doing everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day.
And tonight we got a wonderful yet important teaching on protecting your home from spiritual darkness. This is going to be the first part in our seminar. It's going to be talking about exorcisms, and it's going to be talking about Removing objects and other things from your home, protecting your home from darkness, removing items that could bring in demonic activity or influence the demonic activity in your home and areas around you. We would like to thank the sponsors for tonight's teaching, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Whitmore, Reverend Wallace Jackson, Reverend Washington, Reverend Patterson, Reverend McNichols, Reverend O.V. Wright, and Reverend Tillman. Now, we're going to go ahead and let Brother John, he's got a few of his pastoral friends that he wants to give a couple of shout-outs to. And then after that, the next voice that you will hear will be that of Brother Emmett Overton and part one of our series in the seminar on protecting your home from spiritual darkness. All right, Brother John, you have the mic.
Yes, good evening, everybody. I just want to give a shout-out to Brother Peelman, Downswell, Walker, and Dr. Hawkins, and Brother Stevenson, and Purdue, and Brother Jones. God bless you, and I know you've enjoyed the session tonight. Be blessed.
All right. Let's go ahead and get a quick sound check with Brother Emmett before we get started.
Sound check, Mike.
Got you loud and clear.
You got the King James out.
Yes, sir. Already got it.
All right. Let me know when to go.
All right. Folks, without further ado, Brother Emmett Overton and protecting your home from spiritual darkness.
Okay, we want to thank you for listening to us here. This is a seminar, a Monday special. Normally, Pastor Steve Lee from Live Deliverance Internet Radio brings the word on Mondays. We had a lineup change due to some contracts that we had to render to in order to get income. The purpose for this radio ministries is to give out the word through different churches. If any of you would like for your church for me to communicate in your church in a format like this, you can email me at overtonab1@gmail.com. I prefer to save money and not go. Not that I don't want to go, but if you want me to come, I'll go. But to save you money, I can do it here through my home, and to save both of us money to get the word of God out. Christianity has a lot of information about a lot of things, and we're going to be talking about, does your home need protection from spiritual darkness? A lot of us tamper with stuff that we are not familiar with. But before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, how God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. But God was with us and with us in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We take authority over Satan. We ask that the eyes of the believers become more open to understanding the revelation knowledge of Christ. We thank you for the ministry of deliverance, Lord. And Father, we pray that someone who hears this can learn something and can do something about their home if it's been oppressed with evil spirits. And they can have happiness in their home and not arguments and confusion. Lord, let the Holy Spirit lead me and direct the audience to be blessed by your word concerning this topic. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And we also bind Satan from trying to hinder any person from hearing this. We bind them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For the past 2 days, I have been watching Paranormal Witness and the Hauntings, eight-part series. Thank God for Cody. And I kept watching it, and there were a lot of things that I had learned from. We've done a teaching like this, but I have never really done it in depth, and I'm going to go very in depth with it. Houses are haunted. Objects can be cursed. This stuff is real. It's happening every day. It's affecting people. If any of you have malevolent spirits in your home and you wish to get them cleansed out, we do that. We will come to your home. You can email us, or you fly us there, or fly me there. I've done that before, and that's still on an open table for those who would like for that service to be rendered to you. Email me at overtonab1@gmail.com. When people die in a violent place where violence, that's energy, that's negative demonic energy, and you'll be surprised of what you're going to learn. Let's take this journey. There is always a great deal of benefit in praying through a home for the purpose of concentrating it or setting it apart for the Lord. By doing this, you may or may not encounter spiritual darkness that need to be dealt with. Yet there are indicators as well whether a home needs to be cleansed from spiritual darkness. The following list might indicate symptoms of spiritual polluted atmosphere that require spiritual cleansing. There are two kingdoms, Matthew 12:26 and 12:28. Number one, sudden chronic illnesses in an apartment or in a home or at a hotel. Hotels can be possessed. Recurrent bad dreams and nightmares. If any of you are encountered this, please call us. 404-461-9522. Very few churches deal with this. That's called a Catholic church. That's sad. Very sad that the body of Christ don't have enough people to fulfill these needs for those who are oppressed of the devil. That's the purpose of why Christ came, that he might defeat the works of the devil. Might is because would we accept this doctrine, and some people don't. This is what blocks it out from the body of Christ. Behavior problems, unusual insomnia or unusual sleepiness, relationship problems, arguing, continual fighting and arguing and misinterpreting a person through communications. That is demonic. That has happened to me in my house. You can hear the person, and them demons will flip your natural ear where you be hearing something that person didn't even say it. Lack of peace in the home, apartment, or the hotel, or boat, or wherever you're at. In all dry places, demonic spirits dwell there. Restless, disturbed children, unexplained illnesses or bondages to sin, ghosts or demonic apparitions, diabolical apparitions are the worst. The diabolical ones, those are the ones who catch you. They have the power to kill you. This is nothing to play with. Ghosts and demonic apparitions to which young children are particularly susceptible to. See, young children can see them because they are really sinless. They don't know wrong or right. 7-year-old can see straight in the spirit realm. Be around a 6-7-year-old and how they looking around. They may be seeing an angel or a familiar spirit. You don't know, but God is protecting them. Foul, unexplained odors in your apartment or in a car or in a house or in a boat. Atmosphere of heaviness, making it hard to breathe, continued nausea and headaches. All of a sudden, the temperature gets very cold. Very cold. Like a cold, eerie feeling where your hair stick up. Those are malevolent spirits. If you are experiencing any of these things on an ongoing basis, ask the Lord to reveal any spiritual darkness that may be in your home. Remember that Jesus gives us authority over these beings. He is far greater than any force that might come against you. There is no need to fear. Becoming aware of the demonic and how it is affecting you is the first step to protecting your home from spiritual darkness. And as I watched The Huntings and Paranormal Witness, I noticed that what these spirits was doing to people, and even when I went to people's houses, and I've done about seven or eight spiritual house cleanings in the past 10 years. Not a lot, but I do it. And when I went in there, I saw so many people that was in fear. And spirits feed off fear. They feed off anger. They feed off fear. Spirits feed off anger, and spirits feed off fear. Now, some things that has blocked Christians to understand this type of ministry or this type of information is that many be aware of demonic activity but not understand it. Fear of demons can cause people to deny their existence. Lack of spiritual discernment from the pastor, and that's critical. You see, if the pastor's not really connected to anything in the ministry of deliverance, I don't even know why y'all members there. You can learn faith and love, but you can't maintain love, because if you got a spirit attacking it, how are you going to maintain it? Most modern preachers and teaching divorce the subject of demonic activity. And that's one of the main problems that we see in the church, that this information is not out. And I guarantee you, you got a church of 3,000 or 4,000 people, somebody in their house, they're dealing with some demonic spirits in their home. They're not going to say anything. Why? I've noticed that as I watch the paranormal investigation, the people don't want you to think that there's something wrong with them. They think I'm crazy and put me in a mental institution. That's a good smokescreen that the devil uses in people's mind who go through this to keep them in bondage and not let them get freedom. Most modern preaching and teachings, again, as I say, avoids the subject of demonic activity. Now, first century faith has largely been replaced by 20th century rationalization. And God showed this. This is why people can't hear and understand this ministry. Why should we take a look at what we own? The jurybox brings up two distinct interesting instances of objects that need to be displaced in order to protect our homes from spiritual darkness. One, objects that do not bring glory to God, and two, objects that represent demonic strongholds in our own lives. Let's look at each one of these for instances. There are several instances in the Bible when disaster occurs because of objects. One instance is when Rachel died while giving birth to Benjamin in Genesis 35. What was the result of her premature death in Genesis 31? Jacob fled from Laban when Laban caught up with him and accused him of stealing some household goods. Jacob said, "With whomever you find your God, do not let him live in the presence of our brethren. Identify what I have of yours and take it with you." Verse 32. Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the household gods and put them in her camel saddle. When Laban was searching for the objects linked with his idolatrous form of worship, Rachel pretended to be in her monthly period and actually set on the household goods or gods. She was not willing to let go of an old form of worship linked with her father. As a result, she died prematurely. A similar story is told in Joshua chapter 7. Israel experienced defeat in the Battle of Ai, which occurred immediately after its great victory in Jericho. Achan, despised God's warning not to take any cursed thing, took and he severed the forbidden objects. As a result, Israel was defeated in the end. Achan and his whole family was destroyed because of his sin. On the other hand, freedom occurred when believers in Ephesus brought their idolatrous items and objects linked with magic and sorcery, and they burned them in the middle of the city. Acts 19. This was a key of one of the greatest revivals and awakening recorded in the Bible. Now, I'm going to share some things with you that you may bring to your house not even knowing that it is viciously demonic. You go to Jamaica, you go to the Caribbean, you go to Haiti. If you hit Haiti, you better be covered with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Caribbean spirits of lust, poverty, colonialism, subservient, slavery. These are spirits, and also spirits within cultures, really mess up stuff. So if you got some Aztec stuff coming out of the house from Mexico, I advise that you don't bring it home. As I watched the huntings, I found that there was a ditty box, and this is a Jewish box that housed demons. And as I saw this person bought it from a Jewish Holocaust survivor, he gave it to her mother, his mother. And the minute she opened that ditty box, that woman had a stroke. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's power in these objects, because Satan knows that in dry places, these are where demons can establish themselves. The result to heathen worship, voodoo dolls, spiritual masks, snakes, dragons, thunderbirds, and phoenix are forms of black magic worship. Let me say this again. Things related to heathen worship, voodoo dolls, spirit masks. This is why don't send your children to Mardi Gras. Don't let your children put a Halloween mask on him. Time you do that, you are opening up a door to that demon, and you don't even realize. Oh, it's just a mask. How can that be? Brothers and sisters, I've seen spirits go straight through a person, straight through a wall, and hover in the air, and all of a sudden, go. So I don't know how that happened, but I know what I saw. I've seen cans and cans just like this here move across the table. I've seen tables shake during the ministry of deliverance. I've experienced the phones being turned on and off. I've experienced lights turning off and on. Now, the purpose for all of these lights turning off and on and whistles and bells is to put fear in you. And I said, I don't want to see no performance. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out this house. And then I start speaking the word of God as the Holy Spirit led me, and that thing left. But when you open up the door to voodoo dolls, if you buy them, you bring them in your house, or some form of a snake or a phoenix, you are really opening up yourself to black magic worship. And let's look at these scriptures in areas toward that. The first scripture we're going to do is give Big Mike Deuteronomy chapter 18, 10 through 14. So I want everybody to take an opportunity to go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, 10 through 14, read it. And then when we get through reading it, we'll give you another one. I'm waiting on Big Mike.
Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God have not suffered thee to do so.
See, God doesn't want us dealing with this type of stuff. Now let's look at another one. We're going to look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27.
A man also, or a woman that have a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them.
Also, you can study Exodus 22:18 and 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. Things related to past sins, such as a necklace. Now, if you married and you got your girlfriend's picture still in the house with your wife, that spirit is still connected to you, especially when you had sex with her. Spirits go through those objects because that relate to the person's soul. Now, how did this work? In the natural, I can't explain, but I can say I saw it and I believe. And because of my faith, I don't like to explain. If you got to explain and can't believe, then you don't have faith. That's what the Lord taught me and how I was able to use my faith. These things happen. They manifest through these things. Why? Don't worry about that. Just know that they do with the experience that we have in Scripture and also experiences that people have encountered during a deliverance. Necklaces, love letters, photos of past loved ones in your past life, that's unholy soul ties. And even I don't even like these pictures that I got with my mother up in here. And I'm really praying about that. I love my mother, but my mother gone. I'm being honest. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes just to keep demons away from me, especially with what I do. Things related to this can cause problems. Things with unknown history, like that Diddy box. That man bought that thing out of a store in Portland, Oregon, 5 miles outside of Portland. And it was a Jewish box that hides demons. And he said, Mama, look at this. And for his birthday, her mama opened that thing up, and that woman had a stroke. every time somebody opened that thing, people got sick. So they had a medium, and I don't believe in mediums. A medium is a person that allows spirits, allows spirit allows spirits to speak through them. I was waiting on the Lord to tell me what it was. That's what a medium is. So I don't believe in that. We don't. I don't believe that that a Christian needs somebody to have a demon to speak through the human personality. We don't need that. We got the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Why take your chances on demons coming through you? And the woman did that. That thing knocked her down. And they opened themselves up for doors. See, it's misinformation out here. And there are a thing going in the ghost community that why would demons, why would malevolent spirits obey if you speak a word? Well, we believe that in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, in my name, ye shall cast out devils. I personally don't believe that there's a person walking around here still on earth. Those are spirits. Those are demons. Those are familiar spirits identifying it, looking like a child, making you think that it's a child. That's that is a very malevolent, that's what you call a diabolical hunting. Multiple spirits working as one with one personality. People seeing their grandmama or they seeing their uncle. And each time they keep seeing it, more fear. And then when these demons, when these spirits start manifesting, cutting people, there are cases that people have seen on people's backs that malevolent spirits have cut them. If you have Netflix, go to Paranormal Witness. Please go to that tonight and look at that. That stuff's real. But in the paranormal society, they do see it as demons, but yet they say it's a malevolent spirit or it's a force of energy. It's a demon. And that's what the Lord told me what it is. There ain't nobody on earth that when they die, they hang around here, because the Bible says when you leave, you're in heaven or you're in hell. And when the sumptuous man was real rich, I think Luke 11:23, I don't want to quote that wrong, but I don't want to go into that because that's when he, you know, in hell he lifted up his eyes. I'm using that to show you that when a person died, they're in heaven or hell instantly. Ain't no one running around. These are spirits in the atmosphere. These are demonic spirits. Things with unknown histories which are inherently evil by design. Pray about the items. Dedicate it to the Lord. If the problem persists, then disregard it and get it out. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10:6, Brother Mike. 1 Corinthians 10:6.
All right. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted.
Be careful what you like. Make sure that it's of the kingdom of God. Things that have become gods in our lives, collections, antiques, clothing, money, jewelry, they become an idol. In 1 John 5:21, it says, my dear children, present thyself away from all idols. Now, this year, I want every Christian to please pay close attention, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. Stay away from the Ouija board. 89% of the time when people open up this door, they open up their door to evil spirits, and these things are very hard to get out of homes. Ouija boards, also known as a witch board. Let's look at this in the book of Exodus, chapter 22:18. Also games like Dungeons and Dragons, Masters of the Universe, Pokemon, certain video games with witchcraft references, extreme violence, Magic 8 Ball, that's opening up the doors to Satan. Let's look at Exodus chapter 22:18. And what happens is when your children start moving in these video games as extreme violent, that goes in the subconscious mind, the fleshly mind. Ooh, and them demons can get a good work in that mind and tell them and start fantasizing them about shooting people. That's why those two young gentlemen, the two guys out in Denver, Colorado, two white young kids went out there. I'm not trying to just say that they're white. It doesn't matter. Black, white, it don't matter. I'm just trying to say Claiborne in the 90s went out there and shot up all them people. It started from a video game. There are several examples of objects in the Bible. Let's look at this. In Exodus chapter 7:10, and Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his serpents. servants, I'm sorry, and it became a serpent. Now, this is an object that God used. So this is biblical. Then in Exodus chapter 7, verse 11, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now, the magicians of Egypt, they also did like manner, which with their enchantments. See, that's called enchantment, but it doesn't last. Watch this. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 12, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. That's the power of God. So the power of God shows you through this scripture that it has the power to swallow up any ungodly object. If you call on the Lord, it can swallow up any ungodly object. Let's look at some sources of defilement in your home. Buddhist dolls, Hindu, and other Eastern worship artifacts such as yoga. Get it out your house. White magic spirits, get it out. Egyptian ooks, the cross with a loop on top. Now, I'm going to say this to some Christians, whether you're black or white. That Jesus Christ you got on that wall, that is not Jesus Christ. Another Jesus can get into that picture, and you, oh, sweet Jesus. Jesus did not look feminine. No. And he was not a Caucasian. Nothing against Caucasian people, because they survived, they helped me in my ministry. They're good people. I ain't saying that. I'm saying what the Bible says. So if you got this Jesus on the wall, I advise you get it out of your house, because demons can jump in that, and those are religious spirits. Jesus don't look nothing like that. The Bible says that his face was so disfigured that it was hard for you to look upon him. And that picture they got him just as feminine. That, I think that's Michelangelo's first cousin who portrayed that. But please get any Jesus. The Bible says the description of Jesus. And I don't want to really get deep into that, because that'll take away what I'm saying. But just to show you, to protect yourself, if you got these pictures of Jesus on the wall, if it's contrary to the Bible of what Jesus can, the closest that we can get of what he looked like, let me see if I can try to provide that for you. Brother Michael, could you please give me Revelation chapter 2, verse 18? So if you got this Jesus on the wall, if you got this other Jesus on the wall, you're going to have to get it off your wall.
Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the church, and unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fire.
Hold up, Mike. When you see that picture of Jesus, does his eyes look like a flame of fire?
No, sir.
When you see that picture of Jesus, you ever seen one of his feet like a fine brass?
No, sir.
Didn't the Bible just explain that this is how Jesus looked according to Revelation 2:18?
Yes, it did.
Like unto means similar color. Am I wrong or right?
That's correct.
Read the whole thing again in Revelation 2:18.
And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass.
So if it don't look like that, get it out your house. That's another Jesus. And the Bible speaks of that in 2 Corinthians 11, 3, 4, and 5. Items related to Satanism, witchcraft, New Age yoga, unity symbols, zodiac sign, crescent moons, crystal ball, pyramids, martial arts. Some of y'all put y'all children in the martial art and open up a spirit. Martial arts is demonic. Now, clothing that, let me show you something. Let me show you how powerful items can be. Let's look at Christ, for example. Give me Mark chapter 5, verse 30. Mark chapter 5, verse 30. This is dealing with, we're dealing with Jesus' clothing. We're talking about objects. But watch this in Mark chapter 5, verse 30.
And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?"
Whoa. Jesus says, "Who touched my clothes?" They didn't even touch him. Wasn't that an object, Brother Mike?
Yes, sir.
See, the spirit world is not like the natural. I love the spirit world. I like functioning in the spirit world than the natural world. Natural world is very boring to me. I done got addicted to this. I've gotten addicted to seeing. Other night, my dog, and if any of you got a Doberman, a cat, or whatever, and they're having problems in their dreams, the Holy Spirit told me, "That's a demon in your dog." I said, "Get out of him in the name of Jesus of Nazareth." And I saw a little horrible head, eight heads. The heads were eight, one little eyeball, and some funny-looking teeth with some deformed fingers, and a leg, and a stomach with wings under it, and it flew out of his mouth, came right out of his nose. Right out of his mouth and nose, I saw it. This stuff is real. Now, it was his clothing. Demons don't care what they dwell in. They don't really like to dwell in dry places, but if they get the chance, they can. Let's look at something else to deal with clothing. Now, we're talking about objects, so I hope that this can illuminate your understanding that this stuff is biblical and it is real. Let's look at Paul in Acts chapter 19, verse 12.
"So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them."
The evil spirits went out of a person who was anointed with a handkerchief. See how powerful God is? That's an object. Let's look at Acts chapter 5, 15 through 16. All scriptures. Everything we do at Live Deliverance Internet Radio is biblical teachings. We do not try to impress. I don't go with long words and talking about a story. I'm trying to show you something in the Bible that you need to go home and take and learn from this. Let's go to Acts 5:15.
"And so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them."
Have mercy, there's just a shadow. Ain't that an object?
Mm-hmm.
So shadows can have power. If Peter had a shadow and he was close to Christ, then the glory of that shadow had residue of holiness in it. That's how the spirit world works. Things related to astrology, horoscopes, geometry, Edward Casey, Gene Dixon, comic books, rock posters, hard rock music. Oh, my God. Obvious images of darkness, pornography, material of any kind, sexual videos will eat you up, will mess you up with them eyeballs. Satellites that have internet sites that's full of demonic activity with your eyes can damage you. Now, the Bible speaks of the Ark of the Covenant, I think, 41 times. Even the scripture says that everything that God used can be used for his glory, and the devil can know that, and he counteracts that. So this is why you have to be sensitive in the spirit realm to realize that both forces can fight with these objects. Let me show you one object that God has that the devil can't do. Now, this the devil can't do. Brother Mike, give me Numbers chapter 10:34.
"And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp."
The what now?
The cloud of the Lord.
What it was?
It was upon them by day.
Ain't that a cloud? Isn't that an object?
Yes, sir.
Get rid of anything that you have in your house that's demonic and burn it. The Bible says in Acts chapter 19, verse 19 and 20, "Many of them also which used curious arts brought them books together and burned them before all men, that they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, I want all of you to know that the earth is cursed based on Isaiah 24:6, and the ground also is cursed based on Genesis 5:29. If you have some property, if you stay in an apartment complex, wherever you at, even in a hotel, you have the authority to bless that land and speak your word against that property. And the power of God through your faith will transmit and illuminate and protect you from any demonic activity. Take your home and turn it into a blessing. Dedicated in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, ask the spirits to I demand that all of you get out of here. I don't need to talk to you. And you go get you some anointing oil, and you lay it on your and put it on your doors at the doorpost, just like at the, when the spirit of death was going through the city when Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go, and the spirit and God told them, look, cover yourself with this hyssop. That's an object. They had put the hyssop. That represented blood, a land. That wasn't Jesus. That represented Jesus' blood. So objects are very powerful. Let's look at Joshua 7:6, Brother Mike. Joshua 7:6.
Joshua chapter 7, verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads.
The ark? So we know the ark of the covenant. We know that's an object. Also, Deuteronomy 10:18 is 41 times in the Bible. Now take your land that you live on and turn it into a blessing based on Galatians 3:13. Bless your land and turn it into a blessing based on Galatians 3:13. And those evil spirits will leave if you believe. Let's look at another object. Not an object, but this. It has something to do with a tree. Exodus chapter 3, verse 20. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 3, verse 2.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame out of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
That was a bush, right? God
yes,
used that bush. He used a bush. See, the spirit world can do things that the natural can't. And you really need the discernment of the Holy Spirit to see these things. I've seen some stuff, unimaginable. Where do spirits go if they can't get into a body or if they can't get into an object in your house? Where they go? And anything that you got to dry. That's why an addict, all demons love dry addicts. In basements, a family portrayal of someone who died on that land. If there was a murder there, that spirit still present, still dwells there, manifests off that thing, and it comes and go, and it hunts people. Unclean spirits are gone out of a man. He walketh through dry places. That's where they go. Now, dry places represent rebellion. So anything dry, this is where demons inhabited. In Psalm 68:6, God said it to solitaries and families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a what? Dry land. Now, there are objects that can be cursed, cursed objects. Even the children of Israel start forming their own object to serve because Moses was up on the mountain. They thought God left them. So they made a golden calf in Exodus chapter 32. Molten images is a cursed object in Deuteronomy chapter 27:15. Now let's look at something what Joshua did that's very unique. Watch this. We're talking about cursed objects. Brother Mike, give me Joshua chapter 7, 1 through 26. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1 through 26.
But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua, and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people that labor thither, for they are few. So there they went up thither, and the people of about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their head. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought his people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before the enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ around us, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do upon thy great name, unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore thou liest thus thou upon thy face. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel cannot stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by household, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought forth the family of Judah, and he took the families of the Zarites, and he brought the family of the Zarites man by man, and Zabdi was taken.
Stop right there. As we see, God kept saying the cursed thing, that messed up their blessing. Now, the Holy Spirit wanted me to check something when I told everybody that the earth is cursed because of Cain's blood. That's right. Now, I want you to know that bloodshed on any land was mentioned of the story of Cain and Abel. From the story, we see the bloodshed affected the very land of which the violence occurred. As the blood of violence penetrates the ground, the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 22 gangs right into that land through the curse caused by violence and bloodshed. That's in Genesis chapter 4, 1 through 17. So if there's some violence in an area that you know, if you're in a civil war area, if there's any war zone area, there are areas where there's a rape of such abuse or satanic worship, it draws evil doorways, and it is real. Oh, my God, it's real. I pray that you, brothers and sisters, really hear what I'm saying, I'm trying to pour out my heart to you. Also, a city can be cursed. Those are objects around. Let's look at this. A city can be cursed. Where we at could be cursed. Joshua chapter 6, Brother Mike. Joshua chapter 6, verse 17 and 18.
And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in that house, because she hid the messengers that were sent.
The whole city
and
was cursed.
And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed, and you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it.
So a city can be a cursed thing. Did the Bible say that?
Yes, sir.
Everybody flying all out to Las Vegas. That's a curse. That's a curse thing. The Christians live there. They're not a curse. But the environment that the Spirit has, Mardi Gras, Mobile, Alabama, New Orleans, Trinidad, Carnival, Halloween. Oh, boy. Cursed things. Now, there are an object that can be used for both kingdoms. One could be a blessing, one could be a curse, an instrument. Psalms 150 speaks of what everything that has breath, praise God. Well, we already know that Satan was a musician. You go over there in Ezekiel 28, you'll see that his ribs was pipes. That's something that both kingdoms use, which is an object. Instruments are an object, a tool. A trumpet can be used for the kingdom of God. It can also be used for the kingdom of the servants of Satan. Let's look at tables also. 1 Corinthians 10:21, Brother Mike.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils.
So the devil got a table, God got a table. That's natural, but it can be a curse. Now, the Lord's table is blessed. What about if that's a satanic table? Someone owned that table was a Satanist. You don't think something is connected to that? Oh, you out your mind. You better wake up. Now, the Bible says that an object can be a blessed object, too. Let's look at some blessed objects that the Bible speaks about. Let's look at Joshua chapter 6, 3, 4, 5, and 6, Mike. Joshua chapter 6, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when ye shall make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend upon every man straight before him.
Ram's horn. That's a blessed object. I have a chauffeur. I bless this. I do the deliverance with this. When them demons get really locked up, I go chauffeur. And it works. This is an object. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:16.
The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?
Keep going.
The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?
The cup, that's a blessed object. The Old Testament speaks of defiled land more than 15 times. The Hebrew word translated defile is twame, which means foul or contaminated, especially in ceremonials or moral sense. Homes as well as lands can be defiled or spiritually polluted. Again, there are first steps to recognize any symptoms of demonic activity in your home or your apartment or your house or in any dry place structure. Sudden chronic illnesses, recruiting bad dreams constantly coming, and nightmares, insomnia, unusual sleepiness, behavioral problems, relationship problems with people, fighting, arguing, misunderstanding, miscommunication. Those are demons. Lack of peace, restlessness, disturbed children, unexplained illnesses or bondages to sin, ghosts and demonic apparitions to which young children are particularly sensible to. So you better really pay close attention to your children. Most people who are children are affected with these spirits. Oh, it's nothing wrong. He just making something up because they don't have no discernment. Poltergeist, the movement of physical objects by demons, foul, unexplained odor, atmosphere of heavy, making it hard to breathe, hissing sounds in your house, knocking on the wall, boom, boom, boom. You're hearing somebody walk, you're hearing the door. They're trying to put fear in you, and they can kill you if it's diabolical. If there's a diabolical demonic presence there, you better get somebody to know what they're doing. Continuous nausea and headaches constantly. Low voices, muffled sound, objects vanishing away at your house. You don't know where they are. They're gone. That happens. Objects being moved, dark shadows on the wall, appliance being turned on and off, lights turning on and off at will, strange odors, dogs and cats acting weird, your name being called in a whisper, impressing someone is watching you, footsteps appearing, strong negative emotions felt. And all of a sudden, the ghost may simply be having some fun or to see how well to deal with it. Some folks will move out of the home. Others will become paranoid. And if Fru would laugh about the prank, the only time that we would consider unhealthy for any ghost to prank in our home is for children being frightened. I would ask that you take special care and to observe your children in your house and don't look at it as something to be entertained because they could be frightened by these spirits. The prankster spirit has issues that it needs to address. Earth-linked emotions that it may release so it can move to a higher level of the spirit kingdom. Banishing these spirits will not help them on a spiritual level. We should work with all of them and get them all out at once. Don't leave one in. This is a good spirit. This is why these mediums get caught up in that and say it's a good spirit. Leave that spirit there. And then the spirit doesn't do them to bring them back. So you have to get all of them out. A malevolent spirit is a spirit which destructive behavior patterns will harm a member or members of a household. Once the member is attacked by the malevolent spirit, the member seek the name of a priest or a counselor or call somebody in response that you should hurry up and get immediately help when that is happening. I've had people call me at night and the demons, I can hear the vibrating. And I said, put the speaker on. I said, ma'am, you know it's not me now. I said, this is the Lord in me. I spoke in tongues. I said, in the name of Jesus, I was followed by the Holy Spirit, and it stopped. It's not me. It's Christ and the faith in me. Amen. Arts with obvious demonic repositions, such as paintings and oil paintings of queens that's dead or some a leader. I don't like to put Dr. Martin Luther King in my home. I don't have no pictures of none of that stuff in my house. I love all of them and all that. I don't have no Malcolm X in here. That's a Muslim spirit. Uh-uh. No. And I even have people tell me that this is demonic. Now, let me say this here. You say this star pigment may be demonic, but let me say this here. This is the only thing that identifies Israel on earth. And so God changes it, then that's what it's going to keep it up here. So don't any of you call me saying that this, that, you know, you may be right with the star David, but the intent of Israel, that they had to get a deal done real quick when they was in Tel Aviv forming this government, and the star represent David. That's not a star of Satan. I do not receive Satan. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I claim that this star has Jesus of Nazareth in it. I can take a curse and turn it into a blessing, Deuteronomy 23:5. How about that? See, I know the words, so I can't get caught up in that stuff. Now, Stephen King books, horror books, get it out your house. That's probably why y'all can't have no sleep. All these type of games that your children are playing, really observe that. And keep people out of your house, because if they're unbelievers, you are really going to have some serious problems if they're in your home. To protect your home is also to protect the character of people that go into your house. So if they're not born again, stay away from them and keep them out, such as from such turning away in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power, therefore, from such turning away, keep them out your house. People carry spirits. People that you are not supposed to eat with regarding the family or friends. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator, a covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner. With such one, know not to eat. People that are not supposed to come into your house. regardless of whether they are family, friends, or acquaintance. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, whosoever transgressed and abided not in the doctrine of Christ had not God, not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. He that abided in the doctrine of Christ, he had the Father and the Son. If there come unto you anyone that brings not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. This is why some of you have a lot of spirits coming into your house. You're violating the Bible, don't even know it. The Bible tells us in 2 John chapter 1, 9 and 10, if they ain't saved, don't bring them in your house. God's trying to protect you. That's what he's trying to do. Neither bid him Godspeed. That means don't even say God bless him. The Bible says have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. If you got a person who's a Mason and you're born again and say, why are you fellowship with him? That's a violation of Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Bible said, withdraw thyself from people who are not abiding in Christ. You bring somebody to your house, they ain't no Christian, but they bring a Ouija board in your house. Preservers, despisers of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. So there's many ways to prevent yourself from being attacked, especially who you fellowship. Indicating, too, that the people that we should avoid now, I beseech you, brethren, to mark them which cause divisions and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Romans 16:17. Why? They bring spirits. I hope that you have learned something tonight on protecting your home from evil spirits. Ask the Lord Jesus, go in the house, get discernment. If you don't have discernment, you cast out any spirit, go look into your pantry anywhere, get any books out there, mind science, intelligence, sororities, fraternities, all of this stuff is against God. It is against God. You go out of town, make sure that you don't bring no demon back in your house. Please. And do not put a Ouija board in your home. If this has been a help to you, if you need any assistance with malevolent spirits attacking your home, please contact me at overtonavy1@gmail.com. Or call me at Erico 444-619-522. May the Lord Jesus bless you. Please sow a seed. I am trying to go to the anniversary to Jamaica, and I need people to contribute to sow a seed to help me get there. It's the 10th anniversary, and this ministry depends on your tithes, gift, and offerings. We don't beg. You don't never hear us say about tithes, gift, and offerings unless we really need it. It's very humbling to live on a budget like this. Because I trust in God. And I don't trust in the believer or the listener. I trust that God will move on your heart to sow a seed to keep me and keep us on air. And I need extra funds to try to go by faith to this anniversary that we have, and so that the church, I can get with my pastor in Jamaica and do a live service in Kingston, because we're connected with Apostle Andrew J. Scott and Greater Works International Ministries. We're also connected with Jermaine Edwards, Island Records out of Spanish Town, Jamaica. Kevin Downswell, Papa San. Oh, man, we got a lot of artists that we have been known through in Jamaica because of Greater Works International Ministries. And I want to thank Jermaine Edwards to put his music on, let me come to his home and open up his house to me. I want to thank the pastors in Jamaica, Greater Works members. If any of you listen, you've been very nice to me and supported me. And if any of you want to see miracles, please go to our radio station at livedeliverance.com. And look on Sundays at 11 o'clock. The third Friday of every month, Hit West is live streaming. They have miracle service. People be really getting and walking up out of wheelchairs. The anointing and power of God is there. God bless you. Sow a seed. Keep us on air. Come on in the room and give us a call at area code 646-378-1857. Hit option 1 and participate in this sermon. God bless. All right, Big Mike Dalton says, give me one fast one so they can take a break. They finna open up lines.
My ideas and content must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success start with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution bring confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't waste no more time, you can soar up to the sky. I know I will, 'cause I'm a winner, hey.
to greet the morning sun, to ensure what I said I do was really done. Come in my plans to God, no procrastination or weakness in my life I have to overcome. No time for doubt, no time for fear. Problems will come but I will let them disappear. I cannot slow down, I have to run. I see the time and I must complete the mission, cause I'm a winner.
Let's open up with assistant pastor, Brother Mike. What you got there, Mike? What's your comment?
Hey, man. Good teaching, man. Especially if you've never heard anything about, or if you don't have knowledge about what you bring into your home. A lot of people don't realize some of the stuff that they have in their home. They inherit it, you know, from their loved ones, and they think, you know, okay, nothing harm, no harm coming to it, you know. Something that's been in passed down generation to generation, not knowing that, you know, that stuff is cursed, man. Some of the stuff is cursed. The things that they do, you know, I know people who, like, they're obsessed with, like, Ouija boards and these games, Dungeons and Dragons, and, you know, they collect stuff like this, and, you know, all they're doing is just bringing curses upon themselves, and it's like the scripture says, you know, people perish from a lack of knowledge, and that's exactly what's happening nowadays, you know, because of the fact that there are no teachings really, you know, out there, you know, saying that, you know, you shouldn't have these types of things in your home, or you shouldn't, you know, bring this or that from here and there and the other, you know, especially if you, like how you said earlier, talking about, like, you know, going to the islands and to the Caribbean, you know, those people are steeped heavy, you know, down there in, you know, the dark arts and the occult and this, that, and the other. They know a lot of stuff that, you know, a lot of us here in America don't know. You know, they
that's
know
why
about
I like
the spirit
down
realm.
There. That's why I love down there, man. I love the deliverance ministry down there more than up here. I'm serious. I like it down there. It's up my alley.
Yeah. So they know.
Okay. We got a hooper, A.D. Gapman, to Brother Mike. He says, I'm a hooper and I use my megaphone to hoop. Does my megaphone have demons? Jesus Christ.
Brother, I'm not even really going to entertain the question, but, you know, your megaphone does not have demons, but hooping is nowhere based or nowhere backed by scripture. So, yeah, we're not going to have, I ain't going to give you too much commentary on that one.
Okay, this is Dr. Lilmington to Brother John Durden. Brother Durden, can you hear me?
Yes.
He said, good evening. He says he studies archaeological studies at the University of Denver, Colorado. He has a doctorate degree in archaeology. I'm very amazed. I did a thesis on biblical objects. And he says, dear Brother John, I don't know this young man, but I just want to say this. On my dissertation that I had to do to show explanations of spiritual evils and objects, every one of those scriptures that the Aaron boy used. It was on my dissertation. Could you please tell me how in the hell he learned that?
Okay, very simple. Remember previous nights when everybody asked me where the teaching come from and all that stuff? Don't we know Brother John, Pastor John is telling them, and say, no, no, I haven't had that said and everything. Tonight's teaching is an obvious answer to our question. Where did it come from? Well, when he came to me, he said, Brother John, I haven't finished college. I only got maybe 1 year of college, but I was reading the Bible that you bought for me, and as I was reading the Bible, the Lord said to me, my son, my name is Jesus of Nazareth. I will teach you. And that's what you're doing. What you've been hearing tonight is strictly coming straight out of the Holy Spirit. You see, ain't no way in the world I can sit up there, because I hadn't had that kind of training, to sit up there and go, okay, say this, say that, say this. That's the least concern about archaeology and all the stuff I had in mind. You know, I wanted to be a professional football player when I was in college kind of thing, and counseling. That was my two interests. So what happened is the Lord, he's repeating. I'm going to repeat the word. He was repeating what he was being told in his spirit by the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus. All that stuff he spit out, that didn't come from no college or seminary or graduate school. He didn't even finish college. Maybe he had 1 year. So all that came directly from the Holy Spirit. That's why if somebody tried to put him in a task and ask questions, well, you tell me about this or you tell me about that. You don't worry about it. See, I want you to come to my church and debate me. What would you like to talk about? He said, doesn't make any difference. What? That don't make any sense. I'm going to talk on this. What you want to talk about? Doesn't make any difference. And the reason he can say that is because the Holy Spirit, the Lord of Jesus, be telling him what to say. And so every night. But I love to teach at night because that was a dynamic illustration that he hears the Lord. Ain't no way we heard, got that in theology, in seminary, or any other thing, unless you major into that major subject like this minister who just asked this question. It came directly out of his spirit that was given by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Thank you for asking that question.
Amen.
Oh, okay. So that's where that came from. Amen. While I'm speaking, I really enjoyed it. You know, I learned a whole lot, too, because I can share. This is how my daughter, Candace Durden, got into deliverance ministry. I remember when she bought her new house. And she called me, told me, Daddy, I got a problem here. You got to come. I go, what's the matter, sweetheart? And she shared me. She says, pictures are falling off the wall. When I'm going down a step, bloop, a picture fall, bloop, another picture fall, a light's going on and off and everything. Daddy, what do you think it is? My house spooky. That's what she called, spooky. And I go, well, let me know. I'll call you back. You know, like I talk, you know, me and Emmett. Yeah, maybe you better ask Brother Emmett because he's in deliverance ministry, you know. And so I call him. He says, I don't want to frighten you or your daughter, but y'all didn't know the family members who used to live in the house before she bought it. Because he said sometimes people might be Satanists, some people may be doing ungodly acts in their home and these kinds of things. They're just the opposite of the Bible with respect to the lifestyle. And that would cause the house to be possessed with demons. I go, yeah, okay, what you say? I don't know about that, you know, kind of a thing. But I have to question it because she's saying pictures falling off the wall and lights and, you know, and by me watching all those movies on paranoia and all that, I say, that got to be. So I called Brother Emmett. And I was going to say, okay, let's go, blah, blah, blah. So we jumped in the car, and we went, and he met me at my daughter's house. And when he walked in the house, showing up, pictures and stuff falling off the wall and everything else, come to find out, my daughter liked to travel, you know, here and there and everywhere. And she was buying different objects that looked beautiful, you know, objects of frogs, lizards, and all kind of animated, dragons and let me see, demonic objects like a lot of African arts and stuff like that. And the Holy Spirit told Brother Emmett, say, that's the problem. Her home is demon possessed because of all these African objects and everything she got. So we said, okay. So he said, okay. You know, he got his anointed oil, man. Went around there, anointed all the doors, all the windows, and everything else. and took and say, "This got to go." My daughter goes, "Not that too, Daddy." I said, "Yeah." You see, that's demonic, comes from Africa and everything. I mean, all kinds of objects, you know. And so he had a big bag, and she had to tear it. Okay, bloop, take this off the wall. Bloop, take this off the table. Bloop, 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 bloop. Almost deleted my daughter's house, all kinds of objects. We didn't know that was demonic influence. And then he prayed. We held hands there in the living room. And then he rebuked the spirits and commanded them to depart my daughter's house. And all the light things stopped flinkering, and everything was still, everything else. So he says, "They're gone, Brother John. The Lord just told me." I say, "Thank you, my brother." You know, don't thank me. I don't want none of that glory. That's the Lord Jesus doing it. I say, "Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus Nazareth, for clearing my daughter's house, and I thank you for using Brother Emmett." He said, "Phew, man, you scared me there for a minute, because I don't want no glory. That's why you just call me Aaron Boy from now on. You don't call me no apostle or any of that stuff, because I want to be humble." So we left. And then when I got home, I said, "Sweetheart," I called. I said, "Anything happening?" She said, "No, Daddy." I said, "Any lights going on and all?" "No." "Any doors closing and open?" "No, Daddy." I said, "Okay." And so I said, "Okay." And then I said, "Well, I'll be checking out tomorrow. You sleep well. Now, if you need me to come over and sleep here tonight, you know, I no problem." She said, "No, Daddy, I'll be all right." I said, "Okay, sweetheart." And then she slept good the whole night. Next day she went to work, and I called. I said, "Hey, anything happened last night? Any more lights going on and off, doors shutting, windows open and shutting?" "No, Daddy, everything was calm still. No pictures falling off the wall, nothing." I said, "Okay, sweetheart." And then Emma started talking about he wanted wanted someone to help him with the ministry and stuff like that. So I said, "Hey, honey, how about you helping him?" So he found a secretary, a ministry assistant. So she went there to help him out with his typing and stuff like that. And they've been together ever since, about 11 or 12 years. So this stuff is real. Then he came over to my house, man, and said, "Get that out of the house." Man, I had all kinds of stuff from Africa, too, and everything. Man, I took all that stuff, man. He had to tell me twice. And I threw all that stuff in the garbage can back behind the house.
Got another question. Reverend A.D. Guzmore to Brother... Oh, that's the one. He's the one, Rev. Stillmore. That's the one we talked to earlier. He said, yeah, I'm listening. And I don't know who wrote that sermon. Come on, Brim, come back, please.
I just indicated what he taught tonight. Like, I'm still learning deliverance. You know, here I am 77 years old, but it's never too late. And so I'm trying to learn deliverance ministry and everything else. And what you heard tonight, the Holy Spirit was either – sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell him what to say. Then some nights it's Jesus telling him what to say. And he just opened, and because God can use him. He's not planning. He's not reading a million books of what I'm going to say tonight, what I'm going to teach tonight, what I'm going to teach. Sometimes he don't know what he's going to teach until about 5 minutes before he goes on. Just like tonight, he had no idea what he's, I guess maybe an hour or so before he's done. I think he want me to, and then he got the confirmation by like, you know, 5-10 minutes to what he's going to teach on. So every night he don't even have the idea, the slightest idea of what he's going to teach on. And the Holy Spirit say, "Okay, this is what you're going to teach on." And then he would, that's how come you hear him spit out all those scriptures? He ain't got no, all those scriptures are relevant to the topic. The Holy Spirit, he could spit out Jeremiah so-and-so, Joshua so-and-so, Mark so-and-so, like he was doing tonight. I ain't got that stuff here write down on paper. I wish I could write that stuff. I wish I could have some credit for being that smart. But that's the Holy Spirit. It's not him, and it's not me, y'all. It's the Holy Spirit telling him what to say. I say that over and over and over, and that just doesn't register with some of you, but that's what's happening. The Holy Spirit is telling them what to say, like the Holy Spirit told Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, write this down. All that stuff, the New Testament, was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So that's the key word. So as he's teaching, like tonight, he's receiving impulses and inspiration from the Holy Spirit as to what to say. He spit out all those scriptures. You say something, you back it up with scriptures. I hope I answered your question. God bless you, sir.
Okay, let's get to the next person, Big Mike.
All right. Area code 845.
God bless, brothers. Man, I'm always blessed, brother. With every single teaching here, but always, I mean, it's just so much revelation here, but I mean, you know, I'm always excited to keep on learning here and see what the Holy Spirit has, you know, you to teach on, brother. But it's really true. I mean, you know, objects can be cursed. People can be cursed. You know, generation bloodlines can be cursed. And as you were saying, lands and even like the cities can be cursed. I mean the Bible clearly speaks about it. And as brother brother John was just talking about, he was giving a little testimony about his daughter in the house, about, you know, her using the word spooky. I was actually looking it up, where that word comes from, brother. And the word, it says in like 1801, specter, apparition, ghost, and it is from Dutch. It means spook. It means to walk or act like a ghost. I mean, just where, you know, that's a right word. I mean, for that, you know, I mean, but we obviously know them as demons, though, you know. But I mean, it's all true, brother. It's all true. We need discernment. You know, we need Jesus Christ, and we definitely need that Holy Spirit, because, you know, we have to be able to see these things, because this stuff is true, and, you know, the whole world is really infested with it. So I think it would be, you know, wise to, you know, have Jesus Christ in our eyes as we, you know, live and walk in our daily lives, especially for a Christian, you know, for a believer in this life too, you know, for everyday, brother. You know, stuff is serious, and it's most definitely real. So I'm always honored, brother. I'm always learning, and you know, I'm blessed to be here, brother.
I got somebody to talk to you about now.
Okay.
What big mic is?
As long as Mike's coming with me.
Big Mike, no. What's up with this letter I got from 845? Let me read it to you.
Dear
Pastor Overton, as I'm communing my thoughts with me and Brother Mike, we have decided that we will go and enter into the draft to become part of this world-famous NFL, and I have a love for the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, and you want to be with the Cardinals, and you bringing Big Mike with you.
the Cardinals.
Trying to get that real heat. Heat wave. Isn't like 110 up there?
110 out there, man.
It's really hot out there, brother. It's like 110 every day, 105, 105, 108.
Hot out there, man. I don't want no part of that.
Oh my goodness, I don't even know how they do it. You know, it's super hot, man. And dry.
Very hot and dry. 845. It was good to hear from you. Glad you're back with us, man.
Yes, sir. Always, brother. I'm always here. Always around.
Hey, brother John.
Yes.
Get the computer on. Meet me and Mike online.
Okay.
All right, Big Mike closes out. Me and Mike got to get on and do a deliverance online. God bless everybody, and Big Mike going to close it out.
Blessed is God, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Father, for another blessed teaching, another blessed fellowship, Father. Father, we ask that you will continue to extend your mercy and grace upon us, Father. Father, we seek to serve you, Father, and do your will, Father. Have mercy upon us, Father. Watch over us and protect us, Father, as we give you all glory, honor, and praise, Father. Continue to bless those in this ministry. Bless those who are listening worldwide each and every night here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone. Have a good night. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com.